This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I'm Adnan Rashid. I will be talking about Mughal history today. Who were the Mughals? Mughals were a Central Asian clan who came to dominate the Indian political landscape for nearly three centuries. During the Mughal period, India became the most powerful country militarily, socially, economically, culturally, you name it. The Mughals had all these achievements. Mughals are the people who built Taj Mahal. Mughals were the people who built the famous Badshahi Mosque, which was the largest mosque in the world for a very long time. Mughals are the people who built the Red Fort of Delhi. Also, Mughals built the Grand Mosque of Delhi. So, why were the Mughals in India in the first place? And who were the Mughals? To get the answers, you will have to look into the books I will be recommending today. Some of these books are very, very powerful and they are amazing books. They are relatively objective, not perfect. I wouldn't say all these books are perfect, but they do a lot of good work for the Mughal history. So, the history to start with. Before I show you the Mughal history, I would like to recommend Basic History of Islam in India. So before you understand as to why Mughals came to power and what role the Mughals played in India, and to understand that role in the larger context of the Indian history of Islam, then you must start with some basic history of Islam in India. This particular book titled Islam in South Asia is a must read for any serious student of Islam in the Indian subcontinent. And it is authored by Jamal Malik. It's a very good job. He starts from the very early period, from the invasion of Muhammad bin Qasim in the 7th century, and he goes all the way up to the decline of the Mughals and the end, basically, of the dominance, the political dominance of Islam in India. So this is a very, very good read. He talks about the culture of Islam, the political hegemony of Islam, and how the Muslims contributed immensely to the Indian political landscape. Also, another book I strongly recommend is by a great scholar from the US, Richard M. Eaton. Richard M. Eaton has penned this particular book, India in the Persianate Age, 1000 to 1765. So it is a history of Islam in India for nearly seven centuries. A must read. He also does a great job in telling this story of Islam in the Indian subcontinent. Now to the Mughals. Okay, the first Mughal emperor was none other than Zahiruddin Muhammad Babur, who came to power in 1526. And you can read a very good book on him. And before I talk about that particular book, I will quickly share some general histories of the Mughal Empire. Okay, this book is titled The Mughal Empire. It is by John F. Richards. It's a very good introduction to the Mughal Empire, the history of the Mughal Empire in India. It's a very, very good introduction. You must look into it. Also, another history of imperial Mughal system is Imperial Identity. Okay, this is also a very, very good book. You must look into it. Imperial Identity in the Mughal Empire is a general history of the Mughal Empire when it comes to Imperial Identity. Also, a collection of essays on the Mughal history is The Mughal State. The book is titled Mughal State, The Mughal State from 1526 to 1750, right? And this book is edited by Muzaffar Alam and Sanjay Subramaniam, right? So these are the two scholars who have edited this particular collection of essays, fascinating works. Now to Zahiruddin Muhammad Babur, the first emperor of the Mughal Empire. If you want to read about the man from his own memoirs, then this is his memoir titled Babarnama. It was originally written in the Turkish language because the Mughals spoke Turkish at home, right? The Mughals were a Turkic people. They came from Central Asia and their language was Turkish. So at home, the Mughal elite, the royal family, spoke Turkic or Turkish. In the court, they spoke Persian, and the language of the masses was Hindi and what became later on Urdu, right? So if you want to read about Babur, the first Mughal emperor who came to power in 1526 and died in 1530, governed only for 4 years as the emperor of India. He wrote this memoir, a very, very interesting memoir, where he talks about his personal feelings about India, how he liked India, and how he struggled as a young man to come to power and all those things. Very, very fascinating book to read from if you want to look into the mind of a Mughal prince. If you want to read a secondary source on Muhammad Babur, Zahiruddin Muhammad Babur, then this is a highly recommended book. Stephen Frederick Dale, okay? It's titled Babur, the Timurid Prince and Mughal Emperor, 1483 to 1530, when he died, right? A very, very important book you must read, titled Babur by Stephen Frederick Dale. Okay, now moving on to some of the aspects of the Mughal Empire, which we can discuss very quickly. Before I do that, I will talk about Aurangzeb. Another very important king within the Mughal Empire was Aurangzeb Alamgir. He has become highly controversial recently due to the BJP government in India. And the BJP government has its own narrative of history. And this narrative mainly comes from the 19th century British colonial narrative on history, right? And modern historians have rejected that narrative, and modern historians see history as it is. So Aurangzeb is a very good introduction by Audrey Trusk. Audrey Trusk has compiled this book recently, not very long ago, in 2017. It's a good introduction to the history of Aurangzeb Alamgir, who has become an extremely controversial figure in India since the BJP government took power, right? And another book on Aurangzeb to show that he was not a religious bigot. It is published by the Oxford University Press. It's an academic book, by the way. It's not by an apologist or something like that. The Mughal Nobility Under Aurangzeb. So, M. Athar Ali statistically shows that Aurangzeb Alamgir had Hindu generals serving under him. Far from being a religious bigot, someone who was out to demolish Hindu temples and remove Hindus from power or to convert Hindus en masse. Rather than that, he was actually a very tolerant and a very open king. You know, he was open to Hindus for serving in the state and all that. So he shows statistically, M. Athar Ali, that Hindus served under Aurangzeb within the Mughal state, right? 30%. I repeat, 30% of the Mughal dignitaries or the mansabdars or the generals or position holders were Hindus. 30%. That was a huge number, more than all the Mughal emperors put together before Aurangzeb Alamgir. So he was not a religious bigot, as some would claim. Also, those claims that Hinduism suffered under the Mughals, to counter that particular claim, her book is highly recommended, Culture of Encounters by Audrey Trusk. She's done a brilliant job in showing that the Sanskrit culture flourished throughout the period of Jahangir, Shah Jahan, and Aurangzeb. So Sanskrit language went through a renaissance in this particular period. So far from being bigots and persecutors of Hinduism, rather, the language of the Hindus, the religious language Sanskrit, flourished under the Mughal domain. Also, a very, very good book on Indian princes. Anyone who wants to read about Mughal princes in India, then this is a highly recommended book, again published by Cambridge University Press. By the way, the books I am recommending are mostly academic books published by academics or academic institutions. So I don't believe in books written by apologists or books written unless they have information we cannot find elsewhere, right? I try my best to read from academic institutions, because these scholars, they have to be peer-reviewed and they have to be careful about what they say in the books, right? So this is a very important book, The Princes of the Mughal Empire, okay? And the author is Munis D. Farooqi. He talks about how Mughal princes lived throughout the Mughal Empire, and the period he discusses is 1504 to 1719. The period he discusses chronologically is 1504 to 1719. Now, if you want to understand why the Mughals declined, then there is a very powerful work we must look into, is this four-volume History of the Mughal Decline. Okay, the fall of the Mughal Empire by Jadunath Sarkar. Sarkar was not a modern scholar in the strict sense of the word. He was writing in the early 20th century, and he took a lot of his inspiration from the 19th century colonial narrative on the Mughal Empire. So he was quite hostile to Aurangzeb and others, right? But this is an excellent collection of information if you want to understand the Mughal decline in the 18th century in particular, because he addresses the 18th century in these four volumes. So the 18th century was the century of decline as far as the Mughals were concerned. So what happened after the Mughal decline? The East India Company came to power, and how that company, a corporate company, a trading company that came to trade in India, how did that company come to power, and how did the rule of that company become an imperial state, is a very good question, which is addressed by William Dalrymple beautifully in this book titled The Anarchy. He talks about the rise of the Indian East India Company, the British East India Company, which came to power in the mid-18th century. Fascinating work. I strongly recommend this. It's a short history of the rise of the East India Company. So this was a summary of book recommendations on the Mughal Empire, the Mughal history. Anyone who's interested to read on the Mughals, you need to go back to these books and start reading, and you will see the magnificence of the Mughals and their achievements and what they had achieved in India, politically, economically. In fact, during the reign of Aurangzeb, when Mughals governed more territory than ever before in India, India became the most powerful country in terms of GDP. 24% of the global GDP was in India during the time of Aurangzeb. In other words, India became the richest country in the world. And hopefully more will be coming in the future. I will be doing more book recommendations on other topics of history. Until then, I say bye-bye to you. Thank you so much for listening, and please keep us in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum.